Thank you, Carol and Kim, for that beautiful instrumental. And good morning once again. Please stand for the reading of God's love letter to his children. Today's scripture is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible this morning. Pastor Joe's sermon, in case you didn't notice, is titled Living in the Light. Again, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light, or the Spirit, consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Thank you. You may be seated.
I appreciate you reading God's word for us so capably, Norm. Well, yesterday, my family and I, we headed out towards Pittsburgh to celebrate my mother's 80th birthday. And we had a celebration that I'll talk to you a little bit about a little later in the sermon. But in any event, the trip out, we left at 9:15 in the morning, and it rained most of the way there. But it wasn't bad, because although it rained hard, it was never a torrential downpour. And it was nice and light outside. And so when it's light out, I don't mind rain. It's not that big of a deal. And so we drove. We got there. No problem. On the way back, it wasn't bad at all until we were about a half an hour from the house. And I turned over to Joey. I said, boy, it got dark all of a sudden. I mean, it was dark. Then it got really dark. And sure enough, it started to pour. Those were dark rain clouds that you couldn't see because it was already pretty dark out. But when it started to pour, and it didn't rain any harder than it had been raining on the way out, because it was dark out, it was really hard to see. And I was leaning forward. You know how that is, just to navigate our way home. And that really is a good illustration of the importance of having light and being in light. And this morning, I'd like us to briefly take a look at what light and darkness is in the scripture, and how being in the light can motivate us to live a pure life. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. Motivation to live a pure life before God, seen by we being children of light. Very briefly, and it's kind of important in light of what we're going to talk about, the context. 2 weeks ago, we talked about genuine love, the marks of genuine love, and we gave four marks of genuine love, verses 1 and 2. Then last week, we looked at verses 3 through 7, and we looked at the contrast to that, counterfeit love. Things that might appear to be love but really aren't love. Sexual immorality and materialism or covetousness. Now, with that as the background, let's take a look at some motivations. Or what's going on? What's going on when we walk in the light? And this should motivate us to continue to do so. Number one, we are consistent with who we are when we are living in the light. We are consistent with who we are. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. When you see the word for, when we see the word for, that means Paul or whoever the writer is getting ready to explain what they just said. And he says in verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not share in works of counterfeit love. Why? Because you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You were once darkness. Notice he does not say you once lived in darkness. You once were darkness. The word that he uses for darkness is two words in the Greek New Testament. This is the stronger word. So we could say, you once were utter darkness. Your nature, who you were, was complete, total darkness. That's who you were BC, before Christ. You just weren't in darkness. You were darkness. You were utter darkness, your character, your nature. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Your whole nature changed the moment you came to Jesus. You didn't become perfect, but your nature changed. You became a partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:3 says. Now, what does light and darkness symbolize in the scriptures? That's an important question. There are three different options to that thing that if we ask that question. Light and darkness symbolizes three different things in the scripture, and each time it symbolizes one depending upon the context. Number one, let's take a look at the first symbolizes. It symbolizes, first of all, moral purity and holiness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5 says. He is complete and total moral purity. He is totally holy. In him there is no darkness at all. He is light. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes this: he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Moral purity, holiness. A second thing that light can symbolize is guidance. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light symbolizes guidance. Light symbolizes moral purity or holiness sometimes in the Bible. And finally, light symbolizes eternal life. Eternal life. For instance, in John chapter 8, notice what it says in verse 12. John 8:12, our Lord says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, or the light which is life, would be a fair translation. So having Christ, we have eternal life. We are in the light. So we could say confidently, whenever you read your Bible and you see light and darkness and it's symbolizing something, it's symbolizing one of three things: moral purity and holiness, guidance, or life, particularly eternal life. And then the question is, what does it symbolize here in our text? Well, the context clearly would argue for the first. We're talking about love, and then we're talking about counterfeit love, and then we say we don't want to walk in counterfeit love because we are children of light. We are children who should walk in moral purity and personal holiness. That is consistent with our nature. We were darkness, but now we are light. Therefore, walk or live as children of light in a way that is consistent with our new nature, is what he's saying. Well, how do we do that? What does that look like in real life? To walk in the light in a way that is consistent with our nature. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's just take a look at some things the Bible says is walking or living in the light in a way that is consistent with who we are, what our nature is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we praise God and we are genuinely thankful for who he is and what he's done in our lives, we are walking in the light. We praise him. We acknowledge his goodness in our lives. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg of you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Another way that we walk in the light is when we abstain from fleshly lusts that war against our soul. We know what that is like. That is when the sinful cravings of our flesh want to do, think, or say something that is sinful. And Peter says, if you abstain from that, if you walk away from that, you are walking in the light. So when you praise God and when you abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. 1 John chapter 1, John talks about walking in the light. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Did you ever notice that when people are living for the Lord, they want to be with other people who are living for the Lord? But when people aren't living for the Lord, they don't want to be near people who are living for the Lord. That's what that verse means. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins right after we sin, we continue to walk in the light. We have unbroken fellowship with God. We realize that we sin, we confess, we repent, we're walking or living in the light. 1 John 1:9. If we wait and we continue to enjoy the sin, the fellowship is broken and we're not walking in the light. Sound right? Finally, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good what? Your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So when we do good works that other people can see, we are walking in the light. So we are walking in the light. We are being consistent with who we are, what our nature is. When we praise God, when we abstain from fleshly lusts, whenever we confess our sins immediately after we sin, we are continuing to walk in the light. And when we do good works, we are behaving in a way that is consistent with our nature, who we are. It's 2 days, I remember, it was November 9th. I finally got the motivation to start raking leaves. You know what I mean? You got to kind of get out of neutral. And I got out of neutral. I said, I'm going to, and I even came home a little bit early. It was a Thursday. And I got out and I got a nice start raking the leaves. And as I was raking, Joey saw me and Joey came out and he started helping me. And we got, put a little, nice little dent in the thing. Well, 2 days later was Saturday the 11th. It was my birthday. I wasn't going to rake leaves on my birthday. I'm just sorry. I was going to just take the day off, right? And it was just really cool. Around 11 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden Joey said, I don't know what it is, but I keep on thinking that I want to rake the leaves today. And I said to myself, I don't know what it is either, but I like it. So Joey went out and he started raking the leaves. And then his older brother Tony saw him raking leaves, and Tony went out and was raking the leaves. And just basically acting in a way that is consistent with character, the character of a child of light. That's what was going on inside. So when we walk in the light, we are living in moral purity. We're pursuing personal holiness. We are living in a way that is consistent with our nature, who we are. Another thing that we are doing, we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We are cooperating with, does that make sense? We are cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let's look at those briefly one at a time. Goodness is when we do something that is beneficial for another person or good for another person. It's beneficial for them. It's helpful to them. The Spirit of God works that inside the life of a believer. In Acts chapter 10, and we may say, He does that without us looking to be reciprocated. We're not looking for repayment. We're just doing it. It's in our heart because the Spirit of God has produced that in us. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. That was Jesus. He was anointed with the Spirit of God, and he went about doing good. That's what the Spirit of God does. And when the Spirit of God is at work within us, he is also working out righteousness in us. Righteousness is doing, thinking, saying that which is right in the eyes of God. It's doing something that's consistent with the heart and the will and the mind of God. And so when the Spirit of God is at work, he's producing goodness. We're doing things that benefit other people. And he's producing righteousness. We're doing, thinking, saying things that are right in the mind of God. Finally, our text says he's also producing truth in us. Truth is the idea of being genuine or sincere. It's being first and foremost honest with ourselves. That's where truthfulness starts, at the heart level. We're being honest with ourselves so that we can be honest with God and with other people. But it starts inside ourselves. In Psalm 51, verse 6, and remember David, he's wrestling with God, and he's wrestling with God. He's been wrestling with God for 9 months. And he finally says in Psalm 51, 6, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom. In other words, God wants us to be sincere with ourselves and with him in our inward parts. That is produced by the Spirit of God in us. We don't do that naturally. Naturally, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, right? In Romans chapter 14... notice what Romans 14 says about the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, that is when God is ruling and reigning in the life of a believer. That's what it means in this context. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, outward external things, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what's real Christian living? Real Christian living is when the Spirit of God is producing in the life of believers righteousness, peace, and joy. And so when we're walking in the light, we are cooperating with what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. When we are not walking in the light, we are wrestling with what the Spirit of God is trying to do inside of us. Does that make sense? Have you ever wrestled with the Holy Spirit? Oh my goodness, I've done it many, 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 many times. And here's my testimony. It's a lot more fun cooperating with the Holy Spirit than wrestling with him. It's just a lot more fun. It's a lot more enjoyable. And so when we're walking in the light, we're pursuing personal holiness, we are acting in a way that is consistent with our character, and we are cooperating and not wrestling with the Spirit of God who's at work inside us. Number three. The third thing that's going on when we're pursuing personal holiness or walking in the light, we are very, very concerned about pleasing the Lord. We are concerned about pleasing the Lord first, foremost. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The word acceptable sometimes is translated in the New Testament, pleasing. Finding out what is pleasing, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In order to do that, we're really seeking to know what God wants from us. We want to know what his good, acceptable, and perfect will is. Romans 12, 2, right? And that's what we want. We just say, "What, Lord, what is it? What do you want in this situation? How does your word apply? How is your spirit leading? I want to know what you want me to do so that I can please you." That's what's going on in our hearts. In Matthew chapter 3, we have a really neat illustration in the life of our Lord. Matthew chapter 3, our Lord is getting ready to launch his public ministry in Matthew 3. And notice what the text tells us about Jesus here. Verse 13, and Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. So Jesus is getting ready to get baptized. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? John's baptism was to signify confession of sins, repentance, and a heart that was prepared for the coming Messiah. And John says, why am I going to be baptizing you? You've never sinned, and you are the coming Messiah. Why would you get baptized? You don't need to get baptized. He wasn't being smart. He just didn't understand why Jesus would want to be baptized. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting or appropriate for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Jesus said, you know, ideally, all Israelites should be getting baptized right now. They should be confessing their sins, and they should be being prepared for the coming Messiah. And, oh, John, I happen to be an Israelite, too. And so, therefore, allow me to go through this routine, this ritual of being baptized, because I am an Israelite. I have no sin to confess. I am the coming Messiah, but I am an Israelite. And I am going to do this as a way to show demonstration for the coming Messianic kingdom. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so the father said, you know something? What the son wants to do here really does please me. It's acceptable in my sight. And so here we see our Lord seeking to please the Father in something that was very little, something that wasn't even obvious to John the Baptist. And if that's our heart's desire, to please the Lord, even something that is little, something that's not obvious, our heart is directed in the right way. We're trying to walk in the light. We're pursuing personal holiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul comes right out and says what we're talking about here. By the way, 2 Corinthians 5 is one of the best chapters in the whole Bible. I'm just saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident. Yes, we are well pleased rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Our aim is to be well-pleasing to him. That's our goal. That's our focus. And when that's our focus, we're going to walk in the light more often than not. We had an 80th birthday party for my mom, and it happened to fall on her birthday. Yesterday was her birthday. And so we went into Pittsburgh for that. And my brother and I and our spouses, Melinda and Donna, the four of us really did the planning for it. And we talked about it up front, and we wanted to make it nice. And Mark and Donna, they got the venue, a very nice country clubbish kind of place. In fact, it was a country club. The meal was great. We had my mom's favorite color, teal, out there. My brother hired a pianist, talented pianist, got a photographer to take pictures of the families, the various families represented. I mean, we really tried to do it upright for Mom. She's a classy lady. We wanted to do it upright for her on her 80th birthday. But that's not what we talked about most up front. Do you know what we talked about most up front? We talked about making sure that we got a date where all 10 grandkids could be there. That's what we talked about. One in Tennessee, one in Indiana, three in Ohio. We wanted to make sure that the grandkids could be there, because we realized years ago that the 10 grandkids usurped the three sons as her favorite people in the world. We knew that. We knew that the thing that would mean the most to her was to make sure that the grandkids were there, and that the one great granddaughter was there. And so the most important thing, the thing that we knew that would please her the most, was making sure that everybody was there. That it was really, 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 really important. And that's the mindset. That if we have that mindset with our Lord, Lord, what would be the most pleasing to you right now? We're going to tend to walk in the light. We're going to tend to do things and think things and be things that are pure and pleasing to Him. And that includes things that we say and think, and not just what we do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing or acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Psalm 19:14 says. And so we ask, O Lord, help us to be motivated to pursue personal holiness and to live in the light. Father, we are grateful that we have the privilege to be children of the living God. And we ask, Lord God, that you would motivate us, help us. We all have our areas of vulnerability, Lord God, each and every one of us, myself included. And Father, we ask that you'd help us to know that when we pursue personal holiness, we are living in a way that is consistent with our new nature. That, Lord God, we are cooperating and not wrestling with the Spirit of the living God who lives in us. And that we are being very concerned about pleasing you. Help us, Lord God, to live more and more in the light with unbroken fellowship. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.